We have some amazing students. Of course, we have extremely diverse school district, 109 different languages that are spoken just in A-Leaf ISD. It's a highly cultural community. We have to make sure our messages put the human back in human resources.
Welcome to this edition of Aubrey Insights, where I'm very excited to have Kristen Cathy here from A-Leaf. Kristen is the Chief of Communications at A-Leaf, and I'm excited to have a conversation with her about how best to serve her community in her role and have some fun conversations along the way. So if you don't mind, Kristen, why don't you kick us off and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, again, I'm Kristen Cathy. I'm a native of Port Arthur, Texas, home of Jimmy Johnson, Dallas Cowboys. Depending on who you wrote for, there may be a problem, but whatever. We got a new coach and we're not happy about it. I started off my career as the media communication specialist in Port Arthur ISD, one person department for 11 years.
All the hats,
everything. Went through Hurricane Harvey, where we had extreme loss.
Yes.
We had, of course, COVID, all those different types of things. And then after 11 years, I was graced with opportunity to move to Goose Creek CISD in Baytown, Texas, as their director of communications, where I was there for 2 years, worked with amazing team, award-winning team. Our team actually won the highest award for the Texas School Public Relations Association.
Oh.
So we won the Platinum Award for branding. So
Love
we
that.
Did a great job there. And after 2 years, an opportunity presented itself. I was excited, of course, to stay in Goose Creek, but I actually met Dr. Mays, my superintendent.
Dr. Mays.
I did not know who he was. I happened to present on random in a session, and he was like, "Hey, I'm paying attention to you." I'm like, "Okay, great, whatever." And a couple months later, I heard from him like, "Hey, can you, you know, I want you to apply for this position." And I applied and up against some amazing people. And thankfully, they selected me for the role. So I've been the chief of communications there since August 1st of 2023.
Wow. So what's one of the biggest things that's occupying your mental bandwidth right now in your role? Like what's really occupying I mean, it could be a good thing, could be a bad
sure.
thing. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll start with the good thing. We have some amazing students. Of course, we have an extremely diverse school district, 109 different languages that are spoken just in A-Leaf ISD. It's a highly cultural community. So really getting out to see our students, all the great things they have going on. We have some great educators. Our director of fine arts just won the Presidential Achievement Award. So that was maybe like a week or so ago. We also have teachers, and we have HEB Excellence in Education Award winners. We have National Blue Ribbon Schools, niche winners. So we have so many great things, you know, in A-Leaf. But also on the flip side, I think we struggle just like with everybody else. You're thinking about enrollment issues because, of course, we understand that parents have choices.
Yep.
And for some people, that may be charter, that may be private, that may be Montessori, whatever it is. So struggling to find out that niche, what works best for our community, thinking about, of course, finances, how does that work, accountability. And of course, you know, the elephant in the room is everything that's going on with, of course, with our new president.
Yep.
And, you know, just trying to figure out what do we do to keep our families engaged, aware, but also making sure we're like, we honestly don't know. Right. And,
right.
and how do you portray that to your families and to your staff who, of course, are very concerned. And then we think about just like budget, you know, with the state of Texas, it's so tricky and trying to figure out like, how do we navigate those situations? I think, of course, you know, the panel that we were just listening to and their families say, "Hey, I'm looking at my tax bill and it says that A-Leaf ISD gets the most money out of my taxes, but you're begging for money now." So like, what does that mean? So those are sometimes, I think I would say more so challenges are how do we really navigate, how do we communicate effectively with our stakeholders when sometimes we really just don't have the answer, when we really want to say and we can't say it. So I think I'm not alone in that because many of us, you know, kind of feel that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting when it comes to communicating to your parents and stakeholders about the cost.
Yeah.
One of the really cool things that came out of or that we did with A-Leaf was actually generate something that we call it the ADA dashboard,
mm-hmm.
where this is running tally of attendance with
yes.
students, but there's a number associated with it. So you can actually see like the dollar amount in real time,
yes.
how much it's costing by kids not coming. And I have to imagine that that can be a useful communication tool with your parents and community of just like, get your kids to school because this
yes.
is the, just make the dollars show up just by getting them there.
Yeah, and we use that for our promotion. So when you're talking about enrollment or we're getting ready to start rolling out attendance type of marketing situations, right?
Yeah.
So that dashboard really is helping us because we can see it in real time. What exactly are we looking at?
Yeah.
We understand that the struggles that we have in A-Leaf aren't an anomaly, like, but we focus solely on what can we do to get our kids in those seats? What type of outreach do we need to do? So having those types of dashboards where you can see that type of information in real time, I think is extremely important so we know how to really kind of target those messages.
Yep. So I want to talk about, I'm assuming a good chunk of the job is communicating to the community and then certainly to parents and family members. So you, when I look at it as a parent myself, and, you know, I'm trying to think of kind of like the different levels of communication that happen between a school district and their parents. So, you know, there's the parent communication aspect, which, like, frankly, is usually kind of one way, you know, coming from the district too. And then I think about parent engagement. So maybe it's more like the two-way communication that's happening. And then I also think maybe more on the different level of like super engagement or parent enablement, where they can actually be coming to the district to genuinely find things that are useful to them as parents versus just their students or their kiddos. I don't know, like, am I riffing in a weird way right here?
No.
Or what do you think, like, about that whole process? Any thoughts you might have around that?
I think I looked at it differently before I became a parent, right?
Okay.
Like, because I'm thinking, listen, school's canceled, okay?
Yeah.
Like, we've told you in enough time type of situation, right? And I think that most comms people were understanding whether you have, like, kids or not, right? But thinking about it in a different way on how quickly I want it, how quickly we're able to, you know, to give it, how detailed we can be, because as a parent, that makes a difference to me. You know, like when we had snow, 5.5 inches in Baytown, was like last week.
That's awesome.
It was soft. It was wonderful, right? But I remember we were on the call. And before we left on Friday, Dr. May said, hey, we're going to have a call on Sunday. We have a Region 4 Sioux call, da 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 da. And we got that information out super quick, maybe at like 4 o'clock on a Sunday. And when we looked on social, it was so many positive. Normally it's not like that, right? But the parents said, thank you so much. We were concerned. You did it enough time. And even if it was one parent that said something negative and they immediately shut them down. And I was like, hey, that's a testament to making sure that you're communicating effectively, right?
Yep.
So in a sense, that's really kind of like one-way comms in situation. And again, as a parent, I communicate with my son's teacher that way. Mm-hmm. We're using, of course, a platform where we have the two-way comms.
Yep.
But what I think is amazing about ALEAF ISD, we have FACE liaisons, so family and community engagement liaisons.
Yes.
48 campuses, and we have one at each campus. They have like a little office. It's set up beautifully. And these are the people, this is the touch point that when you come on the campus, and of course, most people say, well, I want to see the principal. Okay, it doesn't work that way. But you can go right here to the FACE liaison. What can we do to help you? So we're talking about for our families that their first language is in English. So we give them some information on that social emotional learning type of information.
Yep,
so we do provide that. If there's anything really that our families are needing. So we partner with, of course, communities and schools. We have a pantry where we provide clothing. Many times they're going there to try to get that type of information. And ALEAF, honestly, I don't know about any other school district. And I can only just talk about the three I've been in, including ALEAF. I've never seen anything like it other than an ALEAF. And it truly does make a difference. They're a part of helping us with enrollment. When we were talking about our Vader passing, they took a really big, hard stance in helping us with that. Voter registration.
Yep.
They do all of those things. You call on them and they're there. And so for us, that part of parental engagement where they're coming and feeling as they're a part of the community, that's how they feel in ALEAF, thanks to them.
It's the village mentality.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Everyone surrounds the kids and whether it's food pantries to everything about it. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's highly cultural, right?
Like, yes.
So I think because we have so many cultures embedded in ALEAF,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're everywhere from Vietnamese to of course, African.
It's like
all
130 languages or something like that.
Yeah.
It's some insane, like huge number. Yeah.
All the, you know, anybody from the Hispanic diaspora, like they're all there, but at the core, it's family.
Yeah.
So for them, we have to make sure that we're providing it for them. We don't want them to ever feel as if they're not wanted, they're not needed. We ask them to be on PTO. We ask them to be on family engagement mm-hmm. committees. We are really reaching out. So I want to shout out Ms. Chancellor Terry, who's over our FACE. She's the director. Hopefully she hears this.
Let her get her on here.
Listen, I love her. Anything you need, she is always there to help to make sure. She'll say, Kristen, before we do this, how's this going to benefit our families? And if we can't answer that question, we don't do it.
What have you found in your professional role, like best ways to communicate with the community, mm-hmm. especially when you may have to communicate something that's not pleasant, i.e., you know, budget constraints or possibly, I mean, the session we were just in, we were talking about, you know, the unfortunate aspect of having to shut down a school or an early. I'm just any tips or concepts that you've seen to actually work well?
I know Dr. Mace mentioned about doing it often and doing it early.
Yes.
But I also think what sometimes we do miss is reading the room, right? Like, what time of day are you sending this message? Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer I don't like doing things on Mondays at all. Like, if it's a good message, I'll do it on a Friday. In particular, like, I could do that at 2 o'clock. if it's a message that I know is going to be like a little bit difficult, I'll sometimes like push it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I always think that's important to read the room. But we also do what we call environmental scanning. So let me see if what's happening in A-Leaf may have happened somewhere else. Luckily in Teespra, we have some really great, you know, of course, comms people. So we all communicate with each other. I'm in region 4, but I can communicate with someone in region 5 or region 10 or region 1. I don't have to recreate the wheel. So I can say, hey, Ariana, who's in region 1 ESC, do you have a letter that you had to like to go out for this or
collaboration?
Can you take a look at this? How does that sound like from your parent perspective? Because you do have to have that.
Yeah.
Like when I started out, I would just send out a message and I would just hope like, okay, well, whatever. And be a little surprised from the feedback. Now that I've gotten a little bit older and I'm able to have that type of experience and just kind of wherewithal, I have to try to sit down and figure out from that person's perspective, how would they feel? In particular, when you're talking about HR, right? Because I think people have a feeling about HR. It's not always positive. And we always say we try to put, when I deal with HR, and I think we have a great HR team in A-Leaf, I said we have to make sure our messages put the human back in human resources.
Yeah.
So when we had to make a difficult decision to close our program where parents, you know, A-Leaf parents have for their kids, I got it, right? I'm a parent. That would be hard for me. But if we're saying this is the reason why, and we're letting you know in enough time. And what was important is that we also said that the wonderful ladies that work there, they still have a place in A-Leaf ISD. Yeah, yeah. They're not going anywhere unless they choose to do it. We have places for wherever they want to go. And of course, it still hurts because you're a parent and, you know, you're thinking of, well, this is unfair to me. We have people come to the board meeting and everything, which, of course, they have the right to do. But having the full support of the board, talking to them early, talking to those employees, trying to really kind of help them to understand it, because it still sucks and we totally get it. But thinking about how's that going to resonate with them, but also showing that it's not always going to be a completely bad situation. So for us, in particular with that situation, it really helped us to be able to kind of navigate it. It still wasn't all the way positive. But I think now that as time has gone on, nobody's really talked too much about it. But I think it helped to say, hey, these ladies that you've come to know and love, they're not going anywhere. We're not getting rid of them. Because most people think that.
Yeah.
If you're closing a campus or facility where you're doing away with people, they're disposable. That wasn't the case, but it just could not be sustainable for, you know, that little type of students that were there.
So I want to ask you a question about efficiencies and in your role. So your first gig, you were doing the, hey, I wear all the hats and I have to do everything. And now, you know, with A-Leaf, I'm sure you've got people, which is nice.
Yes.
Any comments from the communication aspect or the communication side of the house of inefficiencies that you see quite a bit happening? And look, they may be ones that you've already addressed, but they might still be there. I'm just curious from like, when you look at organizationally structured, when you look at the objectives that you are in charge of delivering for the district, and then you look at the systems and the tech organizations, platforms, what we will around it.
Yeah.
Any comments on like what works, what doesn't work, where you felt frustration, where you're like, gee, this could be a lot better. Still haven't figured it out, but we know it could be better. Those kind of things.
I think that especially with comms, and I'm seeing it a lot more, is that they think that you can do everything. And there's also a big disconnect between people don't truly understand what marketing is.
Yes. Especially in schools.
Yeah, hello. Exactly. And I'm saying it on camera because it's true, right?
Yes,
people seem to just want to lump everything in together and say, well, that's marketing. That's not true. And it's a very important skill set. I'll say that when I was in my previous school district, we actually had a director of marketing. So remember, like, I'm doing everything by myself for 11 years. I know that I'm pretty much not doing it all the way correct, but it's survival. That's all you can do.
Yes, what you do.
So I would have to kind of, you know, reach out to other people for assistance. But when I got in my previous district, I was like, oh, that's what that's supposed to be. That's what that is supposed to look like. So for me, even like in my current position now, we don't have a person that is truly a marketing person. So all of us.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I wish I understood it. I don't know.
Do you think, I mean, sometimes I wonder if like if districts still wrestle with the idea of selling themselves, if you will. I mean, that sounds a little crass, but you know, again, I'm riffing here, but I'm wondering sometimes like, well, we're going to get the kids anyway. So why do we have to be thinking about it through like a lens of quote unquote marketing?
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily it. I know that my predecessor also, she didn't have a director of marketing either or a marketing person. But they have people that they will give aspects of marketing to. But I think that we're doing ourselves a disservice if we don't do that. However, I will say this as a full point is that for us, and I understand that making sure that our kids have qualified teachers is important.
Yes.
So for me, yes, we do need someone that solely does marketing with a marketing background. However, I understand what's most important, so we have to do what we have to do. So in that case, we have our person that's over the web, and then it's me. So we really kind of work well together, but we also have our social media liaison who takes on a big part of the marketing as far as the creative pieces. So she does like our banners and our flyers and so on and so forth. So collectively, we try to do those things, but we know that we are at a deficit if we don't necessarily have a true like marketing person, because that is 24/7, 365. On top of the fact, though, that it costs a lot of money to do, because you have to do that consistently, which I think a lot of school districts don't. Some districts do it well, right? You see some districts that you see it everywhere, or even other educational entities have copious amounts of funds to be able to do that. So if you have someone say, why can't you do that? Do I have the money? Do I have the time?
The individual.
Right, because you're thinking about, like right now, I literally have 5 campaigns going, like at one time, outside of just traditional enrollments coming up, pre-K, so on and so forth. So thinking about if you already have, you know, those things that you're dealing with, right?
Yep.
And again, I know that I'm not alone in it. I don't think it's necessarily harping on the district in a sense, but it's really just kind of telling the true, painting the true picture of if a parent is on the outside and saying, well, why are they able to do this and you can't do that? It just kind of lets you know, like, hey, we are essentially doing the best that we can. I have the best team and they do the best work. Like, I'm talking about weekends. I'm talking about late nights. So we can do what we can do for our families based on what, you know, we're able to have. Our Deputy Superintendent of Business Services has been extremely generous with assisting us with just being able to do what we need to do, right? But, and so what I'm doing is just helping to train up my team so we at least can get those skills. So if I can't get another body, okay, then let's see what I can do so we can all have those necessary steps to do what we need to do. Is it, you know, training on software? Is it a certificate program? Whatever it is, so we can make sure that we're providing the best product to our families based on what we have.
What do you hear from your families in terms of what they would like to see more of or get more of from the district when it comes to communications?
Honestly, our families are really good. They really love Facebook a lot. That's where the majority of our families are. Our professional type of family people, and we don't really have that many. You're talking like educators are probably like on X or LinkedIn or type of situation. We have Instagram. If for our families, they're not really there. It's probably like young kids, so it's not really a platform that I would say we may continue with that.
Yeah.
But they like when we're posting often. They love to see, of course, more pictures and more videos. They're really loving the platform where we're able to share information to them. We encourage all of our campuses from the pre-K level or the early learning center level all the way up to high school to make sure that they're communicating weekly with their families using some
like
form
newsletters
of newsletter. Exactly.
And I
think that for the most part that they are doing that and they're extremely receptive to it because, you know, if someone says, well, hey, I didn't know anything about this. And I know Dr. Mays always hates that. And he said, well, Ms. Kathy, why did they say they didn't know? And I have to go back and say, well, yes, sir, they did. It's, you know, it's right here or we've shared it or, you know, whatever.
Six times.
But also even like, you know, most people don't understand the algorithm and how that works.
Yeah. Which,
of course, if we're saying like I would say, hey, I can't control that piece, but this is what I can control. And that's what we try to do in our department. And really, as I think we do in our district, that, hey, we can't control what's going on the outside.
Yep.
But this is what we're going to control here for our families in A-Leaf ISD because we love our kids. We love our families. We love our employees. And for us, we want to make sure we communicate often. Even HR has their own newsletter, just one for HR. Then there's one for TIA, which, of course, you know, is something that we have here in our district.
Yep. Time out here just real quick. A little explainer what TIA is for our non-Texas folk.
Oh, okay. So that's a teacher incentive alignment. Sorry, I keep forgetting everybody's not here in the great state of Texas, right? So, honestly, it's a great way. Like our teachers, you're talking about highly qualified teachers. They go through this whole, it's a rigorous process. And I'll tell you, I couldn't do it because it's a lot of pages.
Yeah.
But they're really showcasing their talent, accountability, all of the data that shows that, hey, I'm really making a difference in the classroom. And these teachers can get additional 10, 15, 20,000.
Substantial,
like 100%.
Yeah.
So a teacher that may make, let's say, start off with 65. You're talking about like close to $100,000 possibly.
Yeah.
And it does happen. And we have some great teachers that have gotten it in A-Leaf. So they'll continue to have it. So last year was our first year. So, well, how can we make it better? So you have the TIA newsletter. We do, of course, a podcast that we share with our families. We have a district magazine. So
y'all's,
we're doing all the things.
Your web pages on the TIA is just incredibly informative. I've been bebopping around to different school sites throughout the state. I'm just like, nope, A-Leaf, hands down the best. up and on it. It's really, really good.
Well, I definitely want to shout out our manager of digital web services, Amanda Battier. We did a complete transition overhaul from one site to the other. She started December 1st of 2023. We did it in 60 days. That's all she sees. I wouldn't suggest it.
No.
I wouldn't suggest it.
For school websites, that's a...
Yeah. And of course, she's done an amazing, amazing job. She's extremely technical. She has a STEM background. So for her, that really does work.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, though we don't have a true marketing person in that sense, she does hold a lot of the cards in her pocket as it relates to the marketing piece, because she does have a little bit of that background. But she really took, like, that's her baby with the website. And so we're really thankful that people are seeing, and our families are saying that they're actually going to, because before they really weren't, right? Like, it was all over the place. So we've been trying to find every single way possible that's going to work for our families. But we also survey our families at the beginning and the end of the year to see, how do you feel about the type of communication that we're providing? Because if my families aren't on X, there's no reason for us to waste time there.
Don't put it there.
Don't even put it there.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that they are a part of our narrative, our story. Like, tell us how you feel. What can we do to make it, you know, better for you? And I think we've done an amazing job.
All right. So I want to kind of wrap this up with some fun questions your way.
Okay.
Right, so not that these weren't fun. They were fun.
They're great.
but specifically, I would love to ask you, this is an education podcast, and we talk about it. And I would like just to hear about any kind of experience that you've had, some profound impact on learning that you've had through either the course of your schooling or the course of your career. Just something that really stands out to you that helps, you know, provide maybe a bit of a North Star to the direction that you're constantly pursuing. So I would just love to hear that story from you.
I had some amazing teachers in Port Arthur ISD. The district has been around since 1899, and they've been servicing the needs of so many kids coming through the district. It was the district that my grandparents graduated from, my parents, my cousins, we were all like from there. And there was one particular teacher, even though I had thousands of great ones or hundreds of great ones or whatever, her name is Mary Lathan. She was my 11th grade AP English
teacher.
Mary
Lathan.
Mary Lathan. I love her forever. One of her sons, Keith, was one of my best friends. We were in the same grade. She had an older son named Tony, of course, her husband. She was tried and true Port Arthur ISD. Her mother was the first black female on the board, Roberta Moss. And so Ms. Lathan was all the things to me. And she told me that I really had a talent with writing and journalism, because she was a journalism major as well. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do. At first, I said I wanted to either be a ballerina or an attorney. I did ballet for a while, and I'm not an attorney yet. However, I will be applying fall 2026. But Ms. Lathan, literally, she just made me feel like I could do it. And she was not alone, because every teacher that I had, in particular at Abraham Lincoln High School in Port Arthur, Texas, made us feel, no matter if you came from a two-parent home like I did, or, you know, a single-parent home, like you could do it. And of course, as I found out as I got older, she and I are in the same sorority. But I say that to say about her, because right after we graduated May 31st, 1997. And maybe about 2 months after that, I had a scholarship trip to Chicago, and I came back home. And her son, they were traveling to Florida for, let's say, a trip before the kids went just back to school, and got in a horrible car accident. And she was the lone survivor. So she lost both of her sons and her husband
one
night.
Yeah.
So imagine, they had the funeral. All three caskets are there. She can't come because she's literally just bandaged up in a hospital. And so when I think about her, she's so... I thank God for her, because she really just helped change the trajectory of my life to let me know, like, these are things that you could do. And just to see somebody that you've lost everything that you know, that you've ever known, even though her parents are still in, but that's your children, right?
Yeah.
And your husband. And she still pours into us. We have a scholarship that she gives out every year in honor of her kids.
Oh, wow.
And you can ask anybody about Miss Lathan, like, okay, that's the one. That's, you know, like, that's my favorite teacher. And she's all the things to me. So I guess I'll plug it. Currently right now, I'm the TSPR president-elect. So it's like a three-stage piece or whatever. So I'll actually be installed as a TSPR president in a couple weeks at our TSPR conference in San Antonio.
Sweet.
And I'll be the first African-American male or woman to do that. And I'm going to specifically, besides, of course, thanking my parents and my family, I want to thank her, because she helped us to dream big. And I think that's what's so important. Like, it gets so politicized when we talk about different things. And I understand that in my role, I'm going to try to temper it. But teachers are so important because our kids are coming to school with a whole host of different things happening that you don't know a thing about. You know, it doesn't matter if you look like a clean cut kid. Something could be happening at home. And Ms. Lathan made us all feel like you guys could do it. And the principal, Dr. Melvin Getwood, who's another person I love, He's assistant superintendent in Port Arthur ISD. He's like, you know, you're my other daughter. You're my other child. Like, he's the reason I got the position in Port Arthur ISD. He's like, there's something for you there. And that's what I think about. Like, teachers, they go back and they find you and they know what makes you great and they help to kind of pour into you. That's why I feel like we have to continue to pour into education, because these people are truly helping our kids.
Yeah. Yes. That's probably a whole nother podcast that we could.
Yeah, call me. I'm going to do that one too.
All right. So fun last question here.
Yeah.
If you could pick a thing
okay.
to sponsor this episode
Ooh.
Pertinent to education or learning or anything like that, what would you pick?
Oh my God. Let me think what I pick. Could it be food?
It could be food.
My favorite food?
Sure.
Crawfish?
Crawfish?
Hello.
All right.
I mean, but you're not from here, right? So you don't know.
It's a lot of work.
It's nuts. Oh my gosh. It's like, it's just, it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And I had it almost every day when I was pregnant. So it was like amazing.
Did they ever serve it up at school?
Well, in Port Arthur, well, no, not in the schools, but I mean, like, it would smell awful. Could you imagine? Like, boiled seafood, during the day?
I taught middle school, so, you know.
It started early. I'm telling you, my son's in second grade. I'm like, sir, what is going on here? You're like seven. He's like a grown man. I can't take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But would you do like crawfish like events, like crawfish boils where you have events or like sponsor the school or anything?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And actually, you know, people would do it sometimes when you're talking about like running for different office.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Type of thing. Yeah. So I would think like if I can use crawfish as it relates to something educational or whatever.
This episode is sponsored by crawfish. What type of crawfish?
Ooh.
Etouffee? What do we think?
Yes, with white rice.
Ooh.
And some cornbread on the side. And maybe like a little yellow potato salad.
I like that.
If you like potato salad.
I do.
Let's do it.
All right. Cool.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
This is fun. And again, having a fun conversation here with Kristen Cathy from A-Leaf. And it was really cool just to hear about the challenges and the joys of communication in a district and working with lots of communities. And Aubrey's here, of course, to help in many different ways when we think about engagement with families and particularly with parents. But that will have to be another episode down the road.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Bye.
Bye.